Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Hello, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are we ready to praise and worship God? Hallelujah. Everybody just go ahead and stand up, and we're going to get right into it. So excited that when I get into the presence of God, that His joy just floods me and His peace just floods me, and everything that could have happened throughout the week just kind of vanishes. I just love the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody in the foyer, come join us for worship. Go ahead.
You're the thank you that above all else, you came for us, God. You came that we could stand in right relationship, and no matter what we've done, you still look at us as sons and daughters, and you still draw us to yourself and call us your own. So, Father, we just thank you that in the middle of our sin, you still called us worthy to be your children.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die. So you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I can be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. In glory to the God who changed my. And I will praise you
forever.
I'll lift your name
forever.
I'll give you praise
forever.
Because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. In glory to the God who changed my life. And I worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. And I will praise you
forever.
I'll give you praise
forever.
I'll bless your name
forever.
Because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you thought we were worth saving, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Your grace never runs out. Hallelujah. Thank you that nothing surprises you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so great.
Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship and show him how we feel. He loves us completely. We bring pleasure. His heart.
sometimes I think I've been saved too long. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Sometimes I forget where I come from. And I don't know about you, you know, I wasn't running around drinking and smoking and toking, and I wasn't one of these wild guys, but you know what? I didn't want God. March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31, my youth pastor dragged me into the office. He said, "Spencer, time to stop playing games. Get in or get out." And I said, "No one's going to tell me to get out." That day I made a decision to follow Jesus. There are times that I've messed up, been stupid. Anybody else ever been stupid before? But you know, I can't forget where he brought me from. And what's amazing is this. If I never showed emotion to my wife, you got to know you're not getting the goods. Say amen. Oh my goodness, he said that out loud. But it's true. If you never show emotion to your spouse, if you never tell your spouse you love them, if you never hold their hand, you never look them in the eye, and all you want are the benefits, I want you to realize you ain't getting none. Well, why is that? Because God created us to show. He created us to show our emotions. Well, I'm stoic. No, you're not. Don't lie to yourself. You don't have to be stoic. You can share your emotions. Now, I don't know if you heard this song. What are the words? Say it one more time.
Say it or sing it.
Sing it. Hear that? What's the next line?
Lifting high, lifting high. My response to who he is in my life.
A response. Now I know some of you are new to worship, but I'm going to teach you how to worship a little bit this morning. Is that all right? The Bible says lifting up hands without wrath or malice. That simply says, on the outside, God, I surrender. Now, it should match what's on the inside, amen? Now, if you don't want to raise your hands because you've got your deodorant this morning, you can at least tell him you love him. You know, there are moments in this where you can say, you can speak. You're going to hear about how powerful your words are. You can speak how much you love him. But if you never say anything, this is corporate worship now. It doesn't create the atmosphere that God loves. You see, we're here creating an atmosphere. We're not here singing because we need a choir. Listen, I got up here, I sang. You hear me sing the wrong words? I know you did. You went like this. But I don't care. I'm not singing for you. I'm not. Amen. But what happens is this. Honestly, I have some overflow. Because I thank God that he's changed my life. I thank God for the life he's given me. You know, I could not have created the life he created for me if I tried to. I sat back one day and I said, God, look at all the things you blessed me with. Look at the life you've given me. I would not have even fathomed this. God is so good. There's overflow. Sometimes you got to remember where you came from, amen? You got something to praise him for. Even if it's half-masked. Baby, you'll graduate someday. You'll go full-mask. But you got to start somewhere. But you show God no emotions. Well, you know, I say it deep inside. Try that with your spouse. You're not going far. This is about emotion. It's okay to show emotion to God. Amen? Well, that's not the way I do it. Well, that's the way God told us to do it. The Bible says that God actually spins and dances over you. Watch now. What? We're talking the creator of everything sees you and he spins and dances. Some of you watch this young guy. I pray I had the energy this guy has. Honestly. He's up here dancing the whole time. I'm thinking, dear God, he must have had some Wheaties this morning or something.
Some of you are sitting there, now that's weird. I don't understand that.
Well, maybe you don't have enough overflow. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you forgot where you came from. Because I was lost, but now I'm found. Come on now. I said I was lost, but woo, but now I'm found. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. My God is able. My God is good. Jesus.
Well, I like the quiet church better.
Wrong church. Wrong church. We're trying to get you ready for heaven. You know, when you get to heaven, you're like going to go,
hey, I think it's him.
You're going to run. You're going to shout. You're going to fall on your face. God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. My God is able. Woo. So some of you got to get some overflow. You got to remember where you came from. Amen. Because when you do, listen, I'm not condemning anybody because I'm from Boston. You know, everybody's quiet in Boston. I'm really moved inside. But man, I grew up in a home and I love my mom and I love my dad. But my parents didn't show that to each other. Usually my dad was downing my mom and telling her she was a bad cook or she was not this or that. And it was a bad scene. When I got married, I tried that. No, really. You only know what you know. So I became a father or a husband like my dad was. And I want you to know, it was not a positive situation. I say we had a bad marriage for 2 years. She says four. You know, men are clueless anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But when I started sharing love with her, speaking to her, and letting her know that I care, letting her know that I love her, I got a better response. Some of you need a better response from God. So you might need to share something. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. If you've never praised Him before, let's take 30 seconds and praise Him with all that you got. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for making me a new man. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Lord, taking all my mistakes and turning them for good. I thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you are a loving God. Come on, more, more, more. Come on, give him more. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We honor you, Majesty. We honor you, King. You are a great God and worthy to be praised. Jesus, we love you. We love you. When I was in high school, I'm going to age myself. I went to a Petra concert. How many of you remember Petra? Yeah, you know you're old. And I watched them. I was actually like a stagehand kind of guy. And man, the music began. Everything's moving. Everything's shaking. And all of a sudden, I watched him grab his guitar. And he went, oh, crash. And explosions happened all over. The crowd went absolutely mad. But he never died for them. And we get to church, and it's like, let's see if they can move me today. I don't need to be moved. I'm moving. Because I've forgotten where I come from. Can I hear an amen? Thank God for the blood. Come on now. Give him 30 seconds and thank him for the blood that washed you. Come on now. Hallelujah. I bless you, God. You are an awesome God. You are a glory. Come on, Father. Come on, Father. Respond. Respond, Father. We're declaring you as good. We're declaring. declaring you as majesty. We're declaring you as God this morning. We honor you, God, with our hearts and our mouths in Jesus' name. And we declare, God, you don't need to look any further. For the word says that you speak to and fro. Those that will worship you in spirit and in truth were right here. God, we long for you. We desire you. We thank you for changing us. We thank you for making us. God, you are such an amazing Father. And we thank you this morning for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, you came a long way, didn't you, Dean? God, people would never have thought you'd ever be on the stand right here in the front worshiping Jesus, would they? Never. How many here know? No, you never thought you'd be saved. How many here, everyone else knew you'd never be saved? How many here need to get saved? Don't raise your hand yet. That's at the end of the service. Can you do me a favor? Can you walk around to five people you don't know and say, I thank God that Jesus saved my life. Come on, go find people you don't know this morning. Find people that are the guests this morning. Don't stay in your seat. Go find somebody and say, good morning. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Did everybody say hi to somebody you didn't know? If not, go find them. Come on, you got 39 seconds. Come on now, don't be a snob this morning.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey, are you new here at His Tabernacle? We have a class just for you to help you get connected and learn more about our church. Every single Sunday, we have Growth Track that happens at 9:30 to 10:30 here at the Horseheads campus. Make sure you come out and discover what God can do through you.
Guess what, guys? Upper Conference is right around the corner, and this is your opportunity to come out and serve. If that's something you want to do this year, I encourage you to go to theuproar.org and click on the volunteer tab, fill out the application, and we'll get right back to you. Also, keep your schedule open for July 14th and 21st. After second service, we're going to be having a volunteer meeting right in the sanctuary. We'll see you there.
How you doing, family? We're so excited about Next Steps and your ability to grow in your walk with Christ. Coming up this week and the weeks to follow, every single Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Step 1 and 2 right here at the Horseheads campus. And if you work overnight or you have a swing schedule, guess what? Wednesday mornings, we have Pastor Dan right here again at Horseheads for Step 1. But Thursday nights, we're at every location at 6 p.m. for Step 1, Rock Solid Faith. your foundation to grow in Jesus Christ. We'd love to see you there because we want to see you successful. Our success is to make you successful.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you in the house of God today. We like to say that you are a very intelligent person for choosing to come to the Lord's house. So we want to welcome you. If there are any guests in the house today, we want to welcome you. If you don't mind raising your hand, we just have a gift for you, and we just want to welcome you here today. We've got a couple in the back. That's awesome. We're glad that you're here with us. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for tuning in. We encourage you to actually come check out and get into the house of God. But we're happy that you're with us. So some awesome announcements that we have for you coming up. How many of you are a woman in here and you've been to Women's Encounter? Awesome. Well, because it's in such high demand, they were only going to do it next June. But because there's so many women excited about it, they're going to do one in the fall, October 24th through the 26th. And there are only 14 spots available. So if that's something that you are interested in, I highly, highly recommend that you get out to the Welcome Center and see Ange Morgan to sign up to get registered because it is powerful and they fill up quick. So make sure you get there. Also, we have Dr. John Amanzini, who's going to be with us again July 7th, both services. You do not want to miss that. I would encourage you to invite friends, coworkers to that. He's a powerful man of God. And I'm telling you, when we bring people in like that, you really don't want to miss it. It's absolutely life-changing. And lastly, we have worship tryouts, worship team tryouts. If you're gifted with singing or you can play an instrument or maybe just you have a gift, I encourage you to sign up. You can email Minister McKenzie at worship@histabernacle.com for more details and to sign up. So I'd encourage you to do that. We have Pastor Cody with offering.
Not everybody at once, please. It's all right. How you guys doing today? Man, it's a beautiful weekend. It's graduation weekend for many places, and you're in the house of God. It couldn't be better, right? And you and I heard about Thursday? I heard Thursday is going to be 85 degrees and sunny. Can we just give God a shout of praise for that real quick? Come on. I didn't think we were going to get out of it. We went from winter right to rain. I didn't know we had a rainy season in upstate New York, but apparently it's a new thing. Since last year, I'm supposed to be taking offering, though. I'm not the weatherman. So look, if you have your Bible, real quick, will you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 20, and 21? And this is a time where a lot of people turn their head off, and we've heard a lot that some people don't like that we talk about money at church. But in reality, I think it's one of the greater things, or something that's great to talk about, because a balance is wise. If we were to only talk about healing, we'd be unbalanced. If we only talked about faith, we'd be unbalanced. If we only talked about worship, we'd be unbalanced. But I love that we get to be a part of a house that's balanced. Because we can then have a balanced life when we move forward in the things of God to apply them to our lives. So Matthew chapter 6, it says this. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, having things is not bad. But when we store up our treasure in things, then we've made a mistake. What the Bible is teaching us is that we are to lay up our treasure in heaven. What's most important to us should be laid up in heaven, in eternal things, not in temporal things, because we all know that the back of a Dodge is going to rust out in about 3 years. We all know that these things are going to deteriorate over time. But when we invest into the kingdom of heaven, when we invest into the things of God, it's only going to accumulate and not deteriorate. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us, is when we invest in eternal things, we have eternal rewards laid up that don't get destroyed, but they only build. And I want to be a person. I want to be a house. I want to be a church. I want to be a part of a body that's building towards eternity, not things that are going to simply waste away over time.
Amen? So I was doing a little bit of a research, and, well, first, really, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. When we give, our heart goes with our giving. When we give to Nice Egg, look, often our heart goes to Nice Egg, and we sit there for 4 hours of television. When we give to Netflix, it's the same thing. When we give to dinner, and man, I love dinner, my heart goes with my dinner. But when we give to the kingdom, our heart goes there also. I did a little bit of research, and they said that tithers only make up 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. And tithing is not something that's law. Tithing is what Abraham did before the law out of a heart of love. So when we give as believers, we're not doing it because we have to follow law. What we're doing is we're doing it out of heart of love for the Lord. Only 5% of the United States tithes as a whole, with 80% of Americans only giving 2% of their income. This next statistic is probably the scariest. Ready? Christians are only giving at 2.5% per capita, while during the Great Depression, they gave it at 3.3%. I think where we lay up our treasure might be a little out of whack. Check out these statistics, though. If, and this is an if, and it's a decision. I love the word if in the Bible because it's always followed by, like, if you do this, this if is great. Ready? I feel Pastor looking at me like, come on, man. Ready? If we were to give as a global church, we would have $165 billion come in. $25 billion could relieve global hunger. $12 billion could eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues. $1 billion could fully fund all overseas mission work. And there'd still be $100 to $110 billion left for church expansion and to do whatever we saw fit to impact the world with. To bring the gospel. Not just to feed people, but to feed them in the name of Jesus. Not just to do X, Y, and Z, but to do it in the name of Jesus so that the world can know that Jesus loves them. And that's the point of giving, is not only to show God that we love him, but so that as a body we can show the world that God loves them. So today I want to encourage you to be a tither, because we believe in impacting the world and we believe in loving the Lord with everything that we have. If you've never given before and there's an envelope either under you or on the seat next to you, also we have text to give options, or you can go right on to www.histabernacle.com and you can click on the giving link and you can start to give today. But I promise you, God will always give more than we could. And he's always going to take care of those that take care of his kingdom. Amen? Let's stand to our feet as we get prepared to give our offerings today. And we have a supernatural declaration that we say here. And most of the time I skip out on it, but I'm going to do it with you today. Ready? I do kind of remember it. Ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. A little bit louder. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are gonna chase me down. They're gonna trip me up because I'm a child of God. Why? Because we're children of God, and because of that, I'm blessed. One more time, all together. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
My strength, oh, the joy.
Praise the Lord. All these graduates are stepping into the next level of life. Next level, right? How many remember when you graduated, man, it was nothing better until you got your first bill? Then you say, I want to go home. I want to go home. Many of them are headed to college. Some of them are going to business. Some of them are living life. And our goal for you is this at His Tabernacle is one thing. Ready? Fulfill God's reason for your breath. You do that, all's good. Some people are going to be in different locations, different gifts, different talents. But if you do God's will, God's happy, everybody's happy. Amen? And you know, not everybody fits in the same mold, so don't even try. Do what God's called you to do. You'll be the happiest person. Keep God first. If you're going to college, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be tempted to walk away from the Lord. You're going to be in an environment that's even more intense than high school, anti-Christ. You're going to have to stand strong. You're going to have to make a decision that no matter what, I'm not going to be shaken from my faith. Moms and dads, you play a pivotal role in this. You start seeing your kid. Listen, this is what I've heard parents say. Well, you know, they're just sowing their oats. Baloney. Cut them down. Cut the oats. Because you don't want them to go through what you went through. You don't want them to experience the pain that you've had to experience. Sean and I were talking. He was an alcoholic for 20-some-odd years. 23. He doesn't want, just want his boy to go through that. Amen? We don't want our kids to go through the hell we went through. So, mom and dad, if you see your kids, man, you should be interceding for them. But if you see your kids start to wander, grab them by their shirt tail. Kick their buttocks in the love of Jesus. You hold the purse strings still. I guarantee that you're going to be providing money for them. Cut it all off. Cut it off. Well, that's mean. No, that's grace. Remember, I told my son Chad one day, he had just got busted for being at a party. The cops were there, and they said, Pastor Spencer, we know you'll take care of this, right? I said, you bet I will. We got in the car to head home because I had to drive him home. And he's watching right now from South Africa. As we're driving home, I looked at him and I said, I want you to know that I'm not angry. But if you're going to act like you're going to act like a man, guess what? You're going to pay everything like a man. I said, next time I catch you drinking, next time I catch find pot or you smoking or your partner, whatever you're doing, I want you to know that you have 3 hours to get out of my house. And all you can take is what you have personally purchased. And by the way, I own that car. That's mean. No, that's love. Because you got to take a stand. Moms and dads, the devil's after your kids. He's going to do everything he can to draw you away. And I know some of you are going to Christian college. Are you going down to Lakeland? Tell you something, Bible college, some of the worst places in the world. I saw more sin in Bible college than I could have ever imagined. Always pick your friends wisely, amen. So we're just gonna lay hands on you, Pastor Cody. Sister Mindy. We're gonna anoint you. I'm just gonna go down and anoint y'all, and then we're gonna pray with you real quick as a whole, amen. I don't think I've ever seen that hat off. What's the anointing oil represent? It represents the anointing. What's the anointing? The anointing destroys the yoke of the... I don't think you got anything on there. There you go, Chick. Make sure there's a mark. My son-in-law. You want to get your head dirty. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind the enemy for the attack that he would try to rail against this generation. We declare, God, that those that are in this role right now, moms and dads, but mainly the young men and young women, that they will hold tight to you, they will hold tight to their faith, They will not relinquish. They will not step back. But God, they will always move forward. They will be your voice, like John the Baptist in the wilderness. That God, they'll never be, God, sad or ashamed of the gospel. But Lord, they'll stand firm and declare that my God is good. Everybody else might be partying. Everybody else might be sowing their wheat, but they're going to harvest their wheat too. And I pray that these young men and young women will stand firm in your kingdom in Jesus' name. Lord, give us all wisdom to be able to be there for them, for this whole congregation. Father, that they will not only walk with God, but they'll run with God and they'll change their generation for the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can you give my hand clap for graduating? Yay! I love you. You can make your way. Hallelujah. Wow, I didn't know we had so many graduates. Yeah, you don't look old enough to graduate, kid. Sorry. But that's good when you're 40. You're going to look better. They called me hairless. I didn't have any hair under my armpits until I was 19. Isn't that horrible? I got mocked and made fun of. I couldn't have grown up. I think I had my first hair on my chest when I was in my 30s. It was horrible. People made fun of me. I remember I had my first hair on my chest, and my wife went and pulled it off. Just cruel. But I look good for 53, amen? Sometimes it's already to look good when you're young. Open your Bibles with me this morning. Oh, everybody's wondering where my wife is, and Lincoln Macer was wondering where my wife is as well, and he was wondering if my wife was having a baby. And the answer is no. Pastor Ron is up in Ithaca preaching today. Amen. So Pastor Chad and Jade are coming home from South Africa. They've been doing ministry in South Africa for 2 weeks. They'll be home this week. And Pastor Dan, where's Pastor Dan? He's in Mansfield preaching the gospel of Jesus. So excited what God is doing down in Mansfield and in Ithaca. Ithaca last week was about 160 people after 9 months. You got to know that is just phenomenal. They've seen over 40 people born again since the inception. God is faithful. Ithaca, we're already seeing, I think last week was 81. The week before was in the 90s. Last week was a low week. Believe in God for over 150 people there by Christmas. Will you believe God with us? This is the last message on next level faith. You know, this is one of the messages that really propels me. And those who were in first service saw the passion that I have for this message, because I really know that this is one of those deciding factors of whether or not you're going to really make it in your walk with the Lord. Whether you're going to be a person that's going to lose interest and walk away, or just be what Paul called a carnal Christian. Somebody that's saved just enough to get to heaven, but never lives victorious, never lives powerful, never makes a difference. They're just somebody surviving in Christianity. And I want you to know that's just not an option for me. How about you? I said, that's not an option for me. How about you? I said, that's not an option for me. How about you? I said, that's not an option for me. How about you? Listen, I'm a very stubborn person. I said, that's not an option for me. How about you? I said, that's not an option for me. How about you? No, I refuse to remain stagnant in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God for my level of faith to be saved. Every man has been given a measure of faith. But God's not called you just to make it. God's called you to go over the top. Can I hear an amen or am I? The Bible says he's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. Not a survivor. Somebody came up to me today and said they were a survivor. Listen now, I'm not a survivor, I'm a thriver. Can I hear an amen? It's time to recognize that God hasn't called you just to make it. God has called you to go over the top. But that cannot happen if you're not growing in faith. It's a message many people don't hear. They're not hearing about faith. But the fact is that, as we've talked already, that we connect to the earth realm through our senses, but we connect to heaven by faith. So what's happened is we've become so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. I want to remind you that our five senses that we connect to this earth with, this earth's laws cannot change heaven, but heaven's laws can change earth. So here we are as sons and daughters of God. We've been brought into a new, come on now, we are citizens of heaven. We're part of a new kingdom, and we are called to live above this world system. And how that happens is you and I recognizing how heaven works, the laws of heaven, and how you and I work so that the laws of this earth, the laws of the natural, can be overcome by the laws of the supernatural. When we don't realize this, we're surviving. God has not called you just to make it. God has called us to live heaven on earth. The kingdom of God is within you. We are seated with God in heavenly places. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. This is not survival mode. This is more than conqueror mode. But we can't be more than a conqueror if we are not going to be a person of faith. So faith is mandatory to make heaven work. You know, we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the more faith you have, the more trust you have, the more you know God, the more you're going to please God. Many of us, we are saved just enough to get us out of hell. But I want you to hear me now. That is not what God's plan is for your life. We are to show forth the greatness of our God. We are to walk in the authority of our God. We are to walk in the power of our God. We are to walk differently than the people of this world. Can I hear an amen or am I? If we are the same as everybody else, why would they want the God you serve? You see, this is the change that has to happen in the body of Christ. For I walk by faith and not by, come on, I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by, I walk by faith and not by. So many of us are living more by our senses than we are by faith. And we've got to grow in our faith so that our sense world, yes, is facts, but the truth will make you free, not your facts. This is the change that has to happen in Christianity because we become very religious but less spiritual. We become good folk that go to church, throw George in the plate and go home. But I want you to realize that's not been God's plan for your life. God's plan is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you cannot bring heaven to earth unless you know how heaven's laws work. And heaven's laws are encapsulated by the very faith that you and I release through this power of the spoken word. Or we believe more on earth than we do in heaven. This is our challenge as we're starting to grow in Christ. You see, you got saved, thank God. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Now you are the very temple of the Holy Ghost. Now that same spirit that the Bible says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So now it's no longer I that lives, but Christ is living through me. But I want you to realize that if Christ is living through you in the flesh, then of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you understand the laws of heaven, you can tap into the supernatural, you can bend the laws of the natural, and you can live in victory no matter what your circumstance or your problem is. You can be that more than a conqueror because you know how to activate heaven on earth. As a believer, this is mandatory. Because if we walk by sight, then we're governed by a horrible Lord. There's no worse Lord than your circumstances. Can I hear an amen? There is no mercy in circumstances. There is no grace in circumstances. It's only by the power of Jesus. It's only by living by heaven's rules. It's only by living by God's commandment. It's only by living by God's constitution, and that is the word of God, that we recognize that even though troubles come on this earth, I have a God in heaven who says, if they're coming at you one way, they're going to have to flee seven ways, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that God, he's on your side. For some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. You see, there comes a place in my walk with Jesus that I start disconnecting from the natural law, start living in the supernatural law, bringing the supernatural law to the natural law, and shifting, changing, twisting so that God can get glory. This is the law of being a believer. This is why we're here. We're not here to be religious. Somebody said to me not too long ago, well, I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. Absolutely not. But you need to go to church to grow up. You need to go to church to hear the word. For the word, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The Bible doesn't say, and faith come by hearing, and that's it. Not by heard, by hearing. We've got to hear the word of God. This is where you're being fed. This is where you're being propelled. This is where you're being challenged. This is where we move as an entire body, as one, for this is our next level faith. But our situation is so many of us are living by our senses and laying hold of this world more tightly than we are to heaven. And then you can't understand why you're struggling so much. If you're struggling in your emotions, it's because you believe more in your circumstances and your feelings than you do in what God's word says. This is the challenge that we're having as believers. So many of us are literally struggling with understanding on how to bring heaven to earth. Listen, I don't want to live the way the people of this world live. You see, faith has a sound. The sound of faith is when you and I declare the word of God. We went over the principles 2 weeks ago about how the word is faith and faith is the word, and that we've got to have faith in the word, that if God said it, it is so. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the situation declares, if God's word says something different, then you speak God's word. You see, so many of us would rather agree with our situation than we would with God. And this is our challenge of growing up in Christ. We've got to make a shift and we've got to make a change. We've got to be different people. We cannot be the same as everybody else. If you open up your Bibles with me this morning to Psalms 19:14, it says this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know what's interesting about this? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, which means this. There are words that are unacceptable. If there's a level that says they're acceptable to God, there is a level that says they're unacceptable to God. And here we are as believers. We've got to know what those are. We've got to understand how that works, because I don't know about you, I want to please God, and faith pleases God. So I want to live a life of faith, for I walk by, come on, and not by. I walk by and not by, which means the reality, the facts of this natural world do not confine me. They do not own me. They are not my Lord. They are not my God. And that my God, the supernatural laws of heaven, can literally shift and change the natural laws that are on this planet. People are always complaining about the economy. The fact is that we always like to use the economy as a problem. But there were more millionaires made in the Great Depression than any other age. Pastor Cody just made the declaration that in the Great Depression, 3.3 Christians were giving, but yet now it's about half of that. Excuse me, 2.5. It has nothing to do with that. What has to do with this is that in the Great Depression, they had to learn to walk by faith. They had to learn to grab a hold of God. They didn't have everything that we have today. They had to learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. They had to learn, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. They had to learn how to be healed in their body because they didn't have money for the doctor. They had to learn how to pray for their sick animals because they did not have a veterinarian. They had to learn how to call those things which are not as though they already are. They had to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. And when they do that, their treasure is more real. You see, we've got to come back to believing that the Word of God is truth. Many believe that the Word is true until their circumstances are more real. If you remember years ago, my wife made a statement, and it was this. Your faith is theory until tested. Until your faith is tested, until a trial comes down that is real, you can say you have all the faith you want. But until you squeeze the orange, you're never getting the juice out. Can I hear an amen? So here we are as believers. We many times will declare the Word of God, declare the truth of the Scripture until problems come our way, and then we look at our circumstances, we look at the trial before us, we look at the hardship that we're dealing with, we look at the facts that are before us, and we look at them so much that we start believing them above the Word. You can't walk by faith by staring at your situations. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, looking unto Jesus, look up. It's time to bring change to our Christian life by learning how to walk by faith. And that walking by faith is instituted by what we say and what we declare. You know, this is where you got to either believe God's word is true or you don't believe God's word is true. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Somebody said to me one time, what is truth? I said, the Word of God is truth. They said, but how do you know the Bible is true? I want you to realize that when you grab a hold of this book, it's unlike any other spiritual book that's out there. You have the Bhagavad Gita. You have the Quran. You have other spiritual sacred rites. But this is the Word of the living God. It literally takes more faith to disregard the Scripture than it does to believe in the Word of God. The Bible says, Jesus, that he rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul made this statement. He said, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then your faith is in vain. You see, there's more proof text about the resurrection of Jesus Christ than anybody else on this entire planet. It literally takes more faith to believe against the word than to believe the word. You see, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit, which is pneuma, which is spiritual life, and then spirit and life. The word life there means Zoe, or the God kind of life. You see, as a believer, Jesus said, I've got words for you that are spiritually alive, that will change you from the inside out, that will transition who you are. And when I speak these words to you, they're going to give you Zoe life, the God kind of life. I want you to realize that Jesus, he wants you to live like God lives. That's why it says, bring in heaven to earth. You and I not always struggling in life, but learning how to live above by using the supernatural principles of faith in our everyday life. As believers, this is the struggle. We look at our reality, and that's more real than God is. But either Jesus is the truth, or he's a liar. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was in the beginning, John 1:1. Psalms 107, God sent his word to heal us. Jesus is either the word, he is either speaking the truth to us. This is either the truth or it's a lie. And if it's a lie, then you and I need to get off the boat. Can I hear an amen? But I'm here to tell you, because it's not a lie, we've got to get in the boat. We've got to start getting across that river. We've got to start looking at our life and saying, my life has got to stop being run by my senses, this natural world, and I've got to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I've got to start calling those things or not as though they already are, for faith is now, not when I can believe it, when I see it. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 49, I don't speak of my own authority. The Father who has sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. The words of this book are not given by man, for it's not under man's interpretation as the scripture declares. This is the word of God. But what's happened is Jesus said, the words that I speak, my Father has given them to me. Watch this. I love this part even more. It says, and how to speak it. Not only what to speak, but Jesus was told how to say it. Why? Because Christ was sent here to represent heaven on earth. He was the fullness of God embodied. Therefore, what Jesus did on this earth represented what was happening in heaven. You see, what you saw Christ doing, you saw as the will of God. Acts 10, verse 38, how God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. The very will of God is to do good for people. The very will of God is to be more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus our Lord. The will of God is not that you're suffering, but that you're the conqueror because you have a shield of faith to ward off every fiery dart of the enemy. As most believers, though, we live like the rest of the world. We've got to decide, was Jesus a liar? Was he a lunatic? Or is he truly the Lord of all? This is so many of us, this is our crossroads in our walk with Jesus. We love God enough to get out of hell, but we don't love God and trust God enough to live life. And we've got to choose, because the fact is that if you're going to walk by faith, it means you're going to have to trust heaven's laws above the natural laws. You're going to have to start living differently. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You're going to have to start calling those things which are not as though they already are, so that you can live a more than conqueror lifestyle rather than be brought down, tethered to all the bad facts that are here on this planet. You can change the facts of the planet by the laws of heaven, but you cannot change heaven with the laws of the earth. So our choice is, who do we want to be like? What do we want to act like? What do we want to walk like? The Bible says in Joshua 24, 15, it says this, choose this day whom you shall serve. You're either going to choose the world system. Now listen, I'm talking as a Christian. You're going to choose to serve the world system. The world senses, the world circumstances, or you're going to choose to say, I believe God's word is true, and even though I can't see it manifested yet, I'm going to call this as though it already is. I'm going to declare the word of God over my situation. I'm going to stand upon God's word, for it's yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. God's word is truth, and I stand upon the truth, for Jesus said, the truth will make you free, not your facts. There's a decision here that each one of us have got to make. Every day we get out of bed, every time we get going on our day. Listen now, tomorrow's Monday. Tomorrow some people are going to get up and go, well, it's Monday. I hate Mondays. Why do you hate Mondays? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You got breath in your lungs. Give him praise and glory. You see, everything is how you choose to live. Do you choose to live the word of God, which is the laws of heaven, activated by faith? Or do you choose to live according to your senses, and now you're governed by every problem that comes down the pike? Some of you have been owned for so long. I'm going to use the word enslaved. You've been enslaved so long by the laws of this world. Either you were not taught that you don't walk like the world. Either you were not taught to walk by faith. Or you've made a choice when you got up in the morning and said, I believe my circumstances are more powerful than my God. So many of us take God off his throne and make him like a man. But the law of nature, the natural, is that your circumstances dictate your joy, dictate your peace, dictate your prosperity. Dictate everything about you. I'm here to tell you this morning, the moment you start living that way, you will never have consistency. You will never have peace. You will never have joy because it's constantly shifting and changing. But I choose to live according to the law of heaven and declare as faith is the word of God. And if I declare the word, then it doesn't matter what my senses say. It matters what the word says. And if the word is true, then I can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and I shall have what I ask. I'm either a person of faith or I'm a person that's governed by the world. Somebody said to me, well, I'm believing for a job. Really? I'm not believing for a job. I declare a job. I'm the son of the living God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I can have what I ask and what I declare. My God said, my blessings are chasing you down and tripping you up. I want you to realize your declaration is the very utmost truth of your heart. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. The word acquit is very interesting here because the word acquit means righteousness. It means you're in right standing with God. Your words will either put you in right standing with God, or the word condemn means doom. The words that you and I speak will either acquit us or put us in right standing with God. Therefore, if God declared it, it is true. Can I hear an amen? For God cannot lie. Or our words doom us because we're against God. There's a lot of antichrist happenings in our everyday life. What does that mean? We declare the opposite of God and want God to change our natural. We agree with antichrist philosophy, but want God to move on our behalf. God is moved by faith, not moved by hope or need. Therefore, as believers, we have a quandary in front of us. We have this collision in front of us. We have it, what we talked about a few weeks ago. The great collision is that of the natural world and the supernatural world. And it's time for the believers to act in whom we truly are. You see, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are an heir of God, and the word is joint heir of Jesus. The word joint heir means everything that Jesus has right now is yours right now. That means if Christ was not sick on this earth, you have the right to not be sick on this earth. Can I hear an amen? If Christ was not poor on this earth, you have the right not to be poor on this earth. If Christ was blessed on this earth, then you have the right to be blessed on this earth. And then everything that he has in heaven is yours right now. And my Savior, my Messiah, he paid a price on that old rugged tree so that you and I could have a new and a better covenant with better promises that our families will be born again. Can I hear an amen? Washed by the blood of Jesus, changed forever, that no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growth have a right in our body. They're trespassing, and that whatever I touch shall prosper. You see, that is the covenant of the truth of the gospel of Christ. So we live by the sense, or we live by the word. Our challenge is before us. That's why it's called the good fight of faith. It's not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. It's bringing you and I into subjection. See, the word of God then declares, as we see it in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here's where the rubber meets the road. All of a sudden, something happens that staggers you. an announcement from a doctor, a problem with your finances, a situation with your child, an emotional thing going on in your life. Now you're dealing with the reality that is before you. The problem is not the reality, for the problem is not your problem. It's what you do with the problem. Now you have a choice. I'm going to apply the laws of nature, or I'm going to apply the laws of God. I'm going to apply the laws of my senses, or I'm going to apply the word of God, which is true, yea and amen. I have a choice to make. This is that fight of faith. But it all starts in your head. As a man thinks, so is he. Our challenge is when those problems come in, they're real, they're facts. But they're not the truth. We have a choice, a collision, an opportunity to say, God, I declare that you are the living God. I declare that you are the one high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. I declare that you are the creator of all things, and that, God, nothing is impossible for you. I declare that if I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. God, I declare that nothing formed against me shall prosper. I declare, God, that no matter what, nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus. I declare, God, that everything that I have, you, God, has given me, and I'm going to press forward to victory in Jesus' name. There's choices to make. Do I choose to walk by faith, or do I choose to walk by sight? Do I choose to allow my circumstances to own me, be my God, be my Lord? Or do I choose to put God on the throne and declare his word for who he is? Nobody can make this choice for you. Your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy. Nobody can make this choice. Your pastor can't make this choice for you. Every one of us have got to make a decision. You see, where your faith level is determining where your faith level will be released. You see, if your faith is small, as Jesus said to some, oh, weak is your faith. Low is your faith. Your faith is not powerful. And he said to others, great is your faith. But you see, where you are is going to determine whether or not you're going to have the power to get through that situation. You see, how you feed your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've got to choose to feed. I've got to feed. I've got to feed. I've got to feed. I've got to get in the word. I've got to hear the word. I've got to be in church. I've got to be in class. I've got to be. Why do I got to be? Because the truth is that we are living in a real world, a fallen world. But thank God, as sons and daughters of God, we are not governed by the fallen world. But he has paid a price for you and I on Calvary's tree, and paid the price through the resurrection, that we have victory in every situation. But you cannot have victory if you don't know the word. He works desperately to keep you out of the scripture. You're too busy to read the Bible every day. Well, I don't like to read. Well, learn to read. Smith Wigglesworth was illiterate until he got born again. And his wife taught him to read. He did so many miracles and signs and wonders. I believe there were 7 people raised from the dead, 3 of them embalmed. Listen, this isn't theory. This is medical fact. There's documentation. How did he do that? Because he was in the word of God every 10 minutes. He gave himself a scripture. He spoke the word of God in his heart. David said, I hid your word in my heart that I would not sin against you. You see, the greater sin is not that you and I are going out and doing sin, but the greater sin is when we tell God that his word is not true. That my circumstances are more real, God, than you are. You're a weak God. And we don't declare that with our lips, but we declare that with our lives. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, our heart determines. Here it is, right here. We must allow God to think through us. You must allow God to think through you. Pastor, this sounds like mind control. It is. I'm trying to brainwash you. There is no question that this is a brainwashing sermon. that every time you open the Bible, God is brainwashing you. What do you mean, Pastor? That is so evil. You see, they knew you were a cult. But the Word of God declares brainwashing. Can I hear an amen? He says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, the truth is until your mind is being renewed and being changed and being transformed, then you believe the sensory world is above the kingdom, and we've got to have our minds renewed so we can know the will of God. Problems come in your life, they're real. What are you going to do with them? Declare the word over them, stand on the word of them, or automatically cave to the emotions of them. This is who we are as believers. This is what makes us different. Thank God there's not persecution in America. Can I hear an amen?
Well, Pastor, there's a lot of persecution.
Oh, no, come on now. In the time of Nero, they would take your children, they would take little Lincoln, and they would dress him in animal clothing. They would have a coliseum full of people. They would take your child and say, recant your relationship with Jesus, recant your walk with God, or we're going to send him out with the lions. They would take the little boy and they would send him out, and he would be devoured. Right in front of mom and dad. Listen, we're not being persecuted. The greatest problem we have is us. The devil's already defeated. So the greatest adversity we have is fighting the good fight of faith, where we declare your word, God, is above my life, is above my circumstances. I've been bought with a price. Can I hear an amen? I am now the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We've got to make a choice. I'm either going to let God think through me, which releases eternity, or I'm going to hold God captive and live my own life. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Our immediate thought on this is a sinner. But what about a saint? See, when you live according to your sense world, don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, your sensory world, he shall of the sensory world receive that reward. Some of you are eating a horrible harvest, and you can't understand why. It's simple. You've chosen to say, God, I refuse to declare your truth over my facts. God, I refuse to allow the word of God to be more powerful than my circumstances. God, my situation is more real. It is my God. It is my Lord. I bow before it. I'm consumed by it. Listen, you know you've made it your Lord when you can't sleep at night because you're thinking about it all night long. You've now risen it above God. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule your heart. You are not allowing God's rulership. You are not allowing God's headship. You are not allowing God's truth. You see, you can only release your faith to God to get eternal results. When you release your faith to your senses, you can only get sense results. And you wonder why you struggle. I apologize, this is a three-week sermon in and of itself. I want to show you that if God lives this law, you and I have to live this law. I believe that God is truly the creator of all things. I believe that God is still God, amen? That God is King of kings and Lord of lords. That God is the creator of all things. Can I hear him one more time? God is the creator of all things. I want to show you, it's called the law of the firsts. Whenever God did something first, it always established a law that we can see in the kingdom. I want to show you a law of the first. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It's dealing with creation. It says this. And God said, everybody shout, God said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4. And God saw, shout, God saw. Shout, God said. Shout, God saw. Shout it one more time. God said, God saw. You can go all the way down through creation. This is what you're going to see through the entire thing. God said, and then God saw. The Bible says we have to have the God kind of faith. The Bible says that God has faith. Romans chapter 4 said that God called the things of the world into existence by faith. You see, God had to have faith. God had to take something that was not and declare it to be, and it manifested itself. You see, God said, and then God saw. You and I cannot get around this law. Whatever you say is what you will see. It's an eternal law. It's a kingdom law. Whatever you say, you are going to see. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it must eat of its fruit, which means this, life and death, whatever you say, you will see. And the Bible says you will eat of its fruit. The other day, my wife bought some cherries. And I was sitting there because I didn't want to have to spit it anywhere else. So I stood right next to the garbage can. And I picked out the thing and I started eating them and spitting them out. And I had some, you know, the good ones go like this, pop. And you can feel the juice rushing through. And you go, yes, God, I love cherries. And I threw one in my mouth and it went, and I went, it was rotten. It was mushy. And I said to myself, I don't want that in my mouth. I don't want that in my belly. Some of us are letting nastiness come out and are wondering why nastiness is coming back in. What you say is what you will see. God has given us the power, because we are his sons and daughters, to be able to say and to see. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You shall have what you ask. The power of the spoken word. You see, the truth is what you really believe is what you say out of your mouth. Your faith level is determined by the words that are spoken out of your mouth. We are the only creation that God has on the entire planet that can say and see as he does. For as Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, for God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. And how is that? God said and God saw. God said and God saw. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can call those things which are not as though they already are. I am not owned by my situations. I am owned by God. And if God is for me, who can be against me? My God is able to do abundantly above all I can ask or imagine. I live an abundant life. But it's determined by your mouth. Can I hear an amen? Everything that God does is by your mouth. How many of you are saved in the room? You gave your heart to Jesus Christ. Those who do not, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end. Building faith in you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Your faith level is rising even as you're in this room. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, confess, confess, confess with your mouth, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You can't even be saved without the spoken word. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Have you ever noticed that God uses your tongue? He uses your mouth. He uses words. The Bible says that God gives you the Holy Ghost. And when he gives you the Holy Ghost, the evidence is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. It might be the tongues of men or of angels, but it is a supernatural language that you do not know. And when God does it, Rabba You see, when God works through you, he uses your mouth. He uses your mouth. Why? Because the Bible declares that your mouth is the very release. That faith is a canister released by your words that is delivered to heaven, that releases heaven on earth. It's time to realize that I've got to let my mouth start to declare the goodness and the power and the truth of the Word of God over my situations and my problems. That's why some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to shut up.
Well, you know.
Speak in tongues. At least let the Holy Ghost pray through you. You see, here we are as believers. We've got to make a choice. God spoke. God saw. I'm almost done. 2 more hours, we're out of here. Honestly, I could preach 2 hours on this topic. This is really a 4-week sermon. My problem is, you cannot have next level change and next level healing until you have next level faith. My heart is sad because there are so many missing. Listen, they're living by their senses. What do you mean, Pastor? That's not nice to say. Yes, it is. You have the ability to hear the words of God. If Jesus Christ was here physically in the flesh this Sunday, you would cancel all to be in the presence of Christ. I'm not up here sharing my gospel. I'm not up here sharing my word. This is the word of God. Not only is it the word of God, it is literally the crossroads for your success or your failure, for the continuation of your walk with the Lord. Because without this key, you will walk by sight and not by faith. And if you walk by sight, you're going to be owned. You're going to always be drudging. You're always going to be hurting. You're always going to be questioning. But if you walk by faith, you can stand to this mountain. I command you in the name of Jesus. Yes, you're a fact, but my God's truth is greater than your fact. I declare the word of the Lord, and God will start to twist the natural laws to bring the supernatural laws into truth. That's the difference between those that are saved and those that are not. It's not that trouble doesn't come, but you have the answer when it gets there. The question is, what do you do with it? You ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, how you feeling today? Anybody ever had somebody say that to them? Hey, how you feeling today? Do you know they really don't care? They really don't. No, it's true. It's true. And this is what I do. Ready? I'm really kind of, I play with this because I realize it wasn't true. So usually you hear it when you're in the line of a supermarket or a place or people around you. So especially if my wife is there, I play with it really heavy. So all of a sudden, somebody comes up, let's just say I'm at Walmart, I'm going through the line, and the cashier says, how you doing? How you feeling? And I'd say, do you really care? They don't know what to answer. Because they just expect you to say, okay. Now you're saying, well, do you really care? Now you've actually stepped into conversation with them. Where before it was just dictation. Now you're having a conversation, and you look at them and say, do you really care? And well, yeah. I said, good, my wife has serious emotional problems. Are you willing to help her? Man, have fun this week with that. Fact is that people don't care, but the not caring is not the situation. The not caring is not the problem. What's your answer? You're either going to agree with God in that answer, or you're going to agree with your senses. Well, you know, I just don't feel good today. Well, you know, I just don't feel good. Well, you know, it's Monday. Well, you know, I'm having this problem. Well, you know. We immediately start declaring our senses over the word of God. What does God's word say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. What does the word of God say? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What does the word of God say? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. What does the word of God say? man, even when Paul, Peter, and the man of God were in the lowest part of the prison, they began to praise at midnight, and an earthquake came and set them free. You see, we have a choice to make every single time we're in the presence of reality, and that is to declare the truth or to start living by our senses. This is a bottom line reality. Oh, Pastor, well, I just want to be a real person. No, no, you aren't a real person. I'm sorry. You're not like the people of this earth. You are supernatural. The moment you got saved, old things are passed away. All things become new. You are that joint heir of Christ. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are an ambassador representing another kingdom on this planet. You can't live the same way. You can't talk the same way. You can't act the same way. Well, that's for preachers. No, that's for every single believer. Well, I heard you're sick. Are you okay? What's your response? Oh, Pastor, I got snot running down my face. I don't want to tell them I'm not sick. If you don't want to answer them, be quiet. You don't always got to answer. You don't always have to talk. What makes you think your opinion is really that important anyways? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Which means you heard your mom and daddy say this. You got nothing good to say. If you don't agree with the word of God, turn to someone and say, just be quiet. Tell somebody else, come on now, just be quiet. Now, some people are not going to respond to this properly. They need a little greater attention. Turn to someone and say, will you just please shut up? It's amazing. There are people that really like that one. If you're not going to agree with God, listen. When the thought comes in your mind, that's not the sin. James chapter 1. The sin comes when you ponder it. You allow life to come to it. Now, the Bible says, it produces sin. What is sin? Sin is disagreeing with God. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is saying, God, you're a liar. Your word isn't truth. My senses are more real than you are. So I'm going to trust this rather than trust you. That's sin. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Just because a bird flies around your head don't mean you got to let him nest in your hair. Doubt is going to come. You're going to have fear arrive on your doorstep. But the only way fear can come in, the only way that circumstance can own you is when you give it reservation in your house. When you give it a microphone in your heart, that's where you've got to know the word of God. That's where you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. That's when the reality of trouble that is in your pocket. Now you've got to make a decision. I choose to believe the word over my circumstance. I choose to speak the word of God over the circumstance. I choose to speak and to see God's truth come manifest in my life. Because if you don't manifest the word of God, if you don't speak the word of God, you are going to get the fruit of your mouth. Well, life is hard. Yes, it is, and it always will be. Well, Pastor, I just can't seem to find a job. And you won't. Well, Pastor, my marriage is in so much trouble, I don't think there's any hope. And you won't. You'll be divorced. Pastor, I don't know. The doctors told me I'm going to die. And you will. That's kind of, brutal, isn't it, preacher? No, 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 no. That's the word of God. Because you can agree with that, and let me tell you, your sense world can't change anything. Or you can walk by faith and declare those things which are not as though they already are. You can stand and declare that God's word is true no matter what your circumstances. You can declare the truth and watch it bring healing, being set free. The truth shall make you free in Jesus' name. We've got to make choices. This is that fight of faith. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Listen, I don't care who you are. Your faith can always grow. And your faith grows not when you're sitting still, but when you're getting buffeted. And that's when you have to stand firm. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore in the power of His might, because you're laying hold of His laws. The difference between religion and truly being a child of God is not getting out of hell. It's living like heaven on earth. That's why when people make fun of me, they say bad things about me, they make accusation about me, I just kind of smirk. Because I know no weapon formed against me is going to prosper anyways. I know all things work together for good to those in Christ Jesus. It might not be good, but I got this confidence in Him that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. And if He hears me, the answer is on the way. I've got full confidence in my God that He's able to change my circumstance. He's able to change my situation. He's able to heal my body. He's able to heal my mind. He's able to give me joy when there is no peace. He's able to calm the sea. He's able to do abundantly above all I could ask or imagine. I'm not serving a dead God. I'm serving a living God. I'm not serving a weak God. I'm serving a risen Christ. I want you to know today, this is not religion. This is the way of life, the life of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's who you are as a believer. That's why the world can't understand you. Hell's causing you problems and you're still smirking. Doctor's giving you a bad report and you got to smile ear to ear. Because you know the truth.
Well, Pastor, what happens if I die?
And you will. You got choices to make. I've got choices to make every day. You got choices to make every day. No one can live this for you. I walk by and not by. I walk by faith and not by. I walk by and not by. I walk by the Word of God and not by my sensory world. Some of you have surrendered the greatness of God because you've believed a bad report or you've believed your circumstances and situations and you've risen them above your God. And it's time to ask His forgiveness. It's time to get on your face and say, God, I need a true revelation of who You are. You are a great God and greatly to be praised. Doesn't matter where you came from. Somebody said to me, well, you know, my family. A man said to me not too long ago, well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to die when I hit 50 because everybody in my family died when they hit 50 because of a heart attack. And I said, and you will. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If that's where your faith level is, that's where you'll see. Or you wish you would die because you're going to live like hell. Here's your choice, my choice, every day. God, I live in a real world. There are real facts, real problems, real things. But God, I make a decision that Your Word is above all things. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that You are Lord. That everything is subject to Me on earth, under the earth, and above the earth in Jesus' name, according to the divine authority that You've granted me. God, I am not weak, and even when I feel weak, I am strong, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I am not making it by, God. I'm going over the top. I'm a son of God, a joint heir of Jesus. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I will show the world that if they live for God, it's greater than living for the devil. What's three more minutes, huh? There's a great man of God on the West Coast. Lived in, God told him to start a church in the ghettos. So you know what he did? He went and bought a Bentley. And he started driving through the ghettos. The religious folks all mocked him. Look at him. Think he's something. Spent all God's money. Well, by the way, it wasn't God's money. He spent his own money. He would come up to a group of guys that were dealing drugs. And he would look at them and say, "Hey, I want you to realize that serving God is better than serving the devil. That you don't have to sell drugs to get a Bentley. You serve God, and God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine." He built a massive church in the ghetto. Massive. Not only a massive church, he changed that whole region. Why? Because he showed living as a believer is better than living as a devil. But if you walk by sense, they can only see you live just like them. Who do you live like? Who do you believe? We call it a knee-jerk reaction. Someone told me they got in an accident. First word out of their mouth was the cuss word. That's knee-jerk. I pray that you have so much God inside of you that the moment an accident might happen, you're going to call on the name of Jesus. That's the knee-jerk. What goes in is what comes out. My question to you is this. Who do you live like? Who do you talk like? What do you have as a harvest? What are the words coming out of your mouth? Do they agree with God? Or do they agree with the senses and the devil? Are your words antichrist? Or your words Christ? I have homework for you. Are you ready? I'm almost done. That's number two. One more. I get one more. Here's your homework. I want you to guard your mouth today. I want you to evaluate your words for the rest of Sunday. Now, if you're a child in the room, and I want you to help your mom and dad. Now, what do I mean by that is when they start saying something that's not biblical, or they're agreeing with what's not the Bible, I want you to, with great respect, say, "Dad or Mom, does that agree with the Bible?" Don't accuse them. Just ask them a question. Does that agree with the Bible? If you're a couple and the other person starts talking anti-scripture, anti-word, anti-Christ, I want you to look at them and say, "You get the fruit of your mouth. Is that really what you want?" Now listen, this is tough. I've been doing it for the last over a week. It's tough. I've had to ask God to forgive me more than once. Because we're so flippant with our mouths. But the truth is, what you say is what you'll see. Faith is released through the canisters of your words. What will you see? What does your faith say? Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, normally I do not preach this long. Normally it's about 40 minutes. But this message is one that is a life changer. And you have to know it. Today, if you do know Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to wait real long, but if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you would like Him in your life, I'm going to ask you to do something that's very brave, and it's raising your hand and saying, "I want God." Today, if you don't know Jesus and you want Him in your life, you want to live this life that I'm talking about, the life of faith, not being owned. You're sick and tired of being owned by your circumstances. You want to live above them, where you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If that's you, you want salvation in your life, you want God to forgive you of your sins, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else this morning? Not going to wait long. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Anyone else this morning? Come on. Come on, I'm going to count down. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Come on, last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have Mindy come on over to this side. Could I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please? If you need prayer, sometimes you just need, you need someone to agree with you in prayer. You're struggling in your faith, and that's okay. The Bible says where two touch one thing, it shall be done. So if you're struggling in your faith, I'm going to have you come and have prayer with this prayer team. They know how to have faith. They know how to declare. They know how to agree, and they'll see God's answer in your life. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask me brave. Meet me right up front, right up here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Can you give them a hand clap as they come? I'm very proud of you, honey. Never be the same again. Amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this congregation. That, Lord, we've not been called to be a church in the field, but God, we're called to be a church that changes the region. Lord, and I thank you that we are walking by faith and not by sight. Holy Spirit, convict us. We give you the liberty to convict us, show us, Lord, even correct us in harshness. That, Lord, we will change how we talk so what we see is different. We declare that faith will come out of our mouth, that we'll agree with God, that we'll agree with his word more than agree with the circumstances and situations. God, we thank you that you've made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I love you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy it. It's going to be gorgeous today. Get out there, get some sunshine, get a sunburn, and have a great day with Jesus. No sunburn?